Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this morning is from our Old Testament lesson from Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and 2, specifically verse 24. There is nothing better for a person than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? This is our text. Dear friends, in Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior, got a question for you. I know it's a little bit early, but it's an easy question. Who is your favorite biblical character? Who thought of Jesus right away? I mean, Jesus is the obvious answer because, well, he died on the cross for our sins so that we could go to heaven. But besides Jesus, who's your favorite? Noah? Well, that's because you're going to see Noah's Ark this week. So, yeah. Maybe Moses? I mean, Moses was one of those guys that did all of those miracles. He led the people of Israel out of slavery to the brink of the promised land. And yet, Moses had his faults too. He killed an Egyptian. And when God instructed him to speak to a rock to get water to come out of that rock, not only did he speak to the rock, but he hit the rock as well. And that's why he wasn't allowed to enter the promised land. But still, Moses is a great example for us. What about King David? Maybe King David is your favorite. I mean, here is the guy who was faithful to God in so many ways for so long, for his much of his earthly life. I mean, this is the guy that killed the giant Goliath. How could he not be a favorite of yours? While King Saul was seeking to kill him, and while King David had at least two opportunities to kill Saul, he refused to lay a hand on God's anointed servant. And so you got to respect him for that. Sure, there was the whole Bathsheba thing. Not only did he commit adultery with Bathsheba, but he had her husband killed. But while he totally repented from that terrible, terrible sin, it did put a huge blemish on his career as king. I got in a little bit of trouble last night because all of my three examples were three guys. And then somebody said, well, what about Mary? You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus. This devout, righteous woman who gave birth to the Savior of the whole entire world. You know, she has to be up there among the favorites. Although we Lutherans, unlike our Catholic friends, you know, we don't worship her. But we can venerate her. We can honor her. And so, yeah, Mary is a wonderful example. But she too had her problems. There's a text in which her and her other children go to a house where Jesus is teaching, and they call for Jesus to come out of the house because, as the text says, they thought he was crazy. So Mary did have her doubts about her one and only son, not her only son, her son as well. Well, today we take a look at the book of Ecclesiastes. And the book of Ecclesiastes is written by David's son, Israel's third king, Solomon. You may not have known that Solomon wrote three books in the Old Testament. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, probably very close to the beginning of his career as king. Then he wrote the Song of Solomon, probably somewhere in the middle of his reign as king. And then it's pretty evident that he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes towards the end of his reign as king. And Solomon is best known for his wisdom and his wealth. Oh, he was really, really wealthy. The Bible tells us that he was the wisest person who was and who will ever be. And because he asked for wisdom to rule over his people, something very wise to ask for, God also gave him peace and wealth to go along with that wisdom. But Solomon, like the others, also had a problem. Like the rest of us, he wasn't perfect. You see, because Israel was so powerful at the time, other nations didn't want Israel to attack them, and so they formed many treaties with Israel. And part of that was you exchange daughters, and those daughters became your wives. And so Solomon had, get this, 700 wives and 300 concubines. The problem with that was they led him astray into worshiping false gods for a time. And so it was during a time when he was away from God and when he was worshiping false gods that Solomon, as our text says, applied his heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under the sun. And so Solomon studied everything. He observed everything this side of heaven. He used his wisdom to figure out, and he tells us very clearly that without God, I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after the wind. And again, I have to emphasize, he is talking about earthly matters here on this planet when you don't have a relationship with God. On the other hand, having a relationship with God gives meaning and purpose to everything. It gives meaning and purpose to our very lives. And so Solomon goes on to write, "And so I turned about, and I gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun." Because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. In other words, you can work and work and work and work. You can collect all kinds of great wealth. You can collect all kinds of wonderful possessions and toys. You can have the biggest house in the neighborhood. But when you die, you can't take it with you. And it will be left for someone who hasn't worked for it all. Really, reading between the lines, Solomon is lamenting that he has to leave everything that he has worked for all of his life to his own son, his flesh and blood. In verse 19, he even says, "And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool?" Can you imagine thinking that about your own child? But Solomon writes it right there in Scripture for all of us to read. But again, that observation was made when Solomon didn't have a relationship with God. Our text from Colossians kind of ties in very, very well with Ecclesiastes. You know, St. Paul writes, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Get rid of all of that stuff. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming." I mean, even our gospel lesson for today ties in with Ecclesiastes when Luke writes to us and tells us this parable of the rich fool. He has this bumper crop of crops, and he doesn't know what he's going to do with everything that he's got. And rather than praying to God and asking God what to do and seeking God's help, in the middle of the night, he devises this plan to tear it all down, to build up bigger and larger barns. And he says to himself, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." Not knowing that that very night, God is going to require his soul from him. In other words, like Solomon's situation, he's going to die, and he's not going to be able to enjoy anything that he owns. So you see, it's not about what you have or what you don't have. It's all about your relationship with God. If you've got a relationship with God, even the smallest things in the world have meaning and purpose and can give you joy. I mean, just taking a walk on a morning like this morning can give you such great joy, especially if you're walking down by our beautiful lake. You know, looking at the face of a newborn child is such a wonderful blessing if you have a relationship with God. Smelling the fresh air after a gentle rain, watching a sunrise or a sunset, they all have so much meaning when you've got a relationship with God, because when it's all over, you are going to be with God for all eternity. Now, if you don't have a relationship with God, then the fact of the matter is, it's just going to end. And everything that you have is going to end up in somebody else's bank account. And you're going to be placed in the ground. And you're going to hell. That's all there is to it. Look through all the Bible. Look at every single biblical figure in there. And you will not find one biblical figure who was perfect besides Jesus Christ. It's amazing that God did not select perfect people to do his work, but he handpicked flawed people to do his work. I think part of it is so that we could relate with them, so that we know that God can use a person like Solomon. If God could use a person like Solomon to do his handy work, you know, someone who left God for a time and then came back, well, then God can use you and me as well. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how many square feet you've got in your house. It doesn't matter how many toys you've got. What matters is your relationship with Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that he won for you on the cross. If you have a relationship with Jesus, then you have eternal life, and you are the richest person in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.